Welcome to the Practical Church Revitalization Podcast. We look at revitalization in real time, examining the ups and downs of revitalizing and replanting historic and legacy churches throughout New England and the U.S. Now here's your hosts.
Hey everybody, it's Don McKinnon from Legacy Church, and I am back hosting by myself this week. I've had a lot of stuff going on. I'm not going to get into it. My wife has not been herself wanting to come on here just of yet. Maybe we'll discuss that in due time, but I'm here to discuss something that I was kind of surprised at. I'm just jumping into this because I don't know. I don't know how much you want to hear about what's going on in the life of my church. I'm just kind of like waiting to hear back from people, to set up interviews and different things, and life is busy. I'm actually eagerly waiting for school vacation in a few weeks because I am tired and I need a break. But thus is the life of a bivocational pastor. Anywho, with that said, I want to discuss this post that I put out a couple of weeks ago when this comes out. And actually, right away, it kind of really took off. And so that's what I want to discuss with you is this podcast. You might hear some clicking because the microphone and the mouse. I usually use a silent mouse, but I upgraded to Windows 11. And for some reason, it does not like wireless mouses. I don't know why. So I got a wired mouse, which clicks. But anyway, so I wrote this blog about the need for revival in the Northeast, and I gave some numbers and everything, and this really came about. This really started talking, and as I got into this, I pointed out, now, this data that is in here, and you know what, rather than post links to all the data, I'm going to post a link to the blog, not so I get more hits on the blog. It's just that I'm in the age of not doing, plagiarizing. I made links to everything that I was talking about, and so it'll just be easier for you to click on that. But one of the things was, is the data, while it's getting old, you know, it's 2019, it still shows that there is 8 out of the top 10 areas where people are asking about, or not asking, but where it is 8 of the top 10 least Christian cities in America. And it was interesting because that's all in the Northeast. There is 2 in New York, number 6 and number 8, but 1 through 5 and number 7 are all in New England. And so this really got me, especially where I live between number 1, you know, between number 1 and number 3, really, and number 5, you know, like Springfield, Providence, and Boston, which are 1, 3, and 5 respectively there. I live just south of Worcester, so I'm in like the middle of this Bermuda Triangle. And it's really been on my mind as I look at this and the need for revitalization in New England, but also the need for revival. And that's what I wrote in this article. We as churches, we talk about revival. We talk about wanting to see churches revitalized, but what's going on within churches? How are churches doing this stuff? I ask this question because, honestly, I sit here and I know this is one of those things where people will say, well, how dare you ask that question? But I really wonder, because as a historian, probably not I don't know if I'd call myself a church historian, but I just look at the books written on the time of the Great Awakening. And the one thing I read is where there was this shift of the people, and this people wanted to see the change, and they started praying for the change. And so I wonder if we as pastors, we as Christians, are holding ourselves back. Because we talk about how the Holy Spirit is the only one that can bring revival. And then I see it all over the place. I don't know how to quite describe what I see right now when it comes to the capital C church. What I see right now is I see churches that are putting logic against the supernatural. And what I mean by that is, we sit there and people are trying to think logically. There are theological systems that think logically. There are theological systems out there that think against the supernatural. And the thing is that bugs me and really begins to make me sit here and think is, don't we serve a supernatural God? And so if we're sitting here and we're trying to serve the supernatural, why do we badmouth when we say we want to see revival and people say, well, revival only comes from the Holy Spirit? And then in the same breath, sit there and speak ill about praying for that revival. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that not so much here. It is here in New England, but I'm seeing this on social media. I'm seeing this in groups. I'm seeing this across the board in different areas. And it really disheartens me. I'm not going to lie. I know you're coming in and you're listening to this podcast and, you know, you're expecting me to talk about, you know, church revitalization and, you know, let's talk about this. But this really got on my heart. As I recorded the last episode and was preparing for this episode, I realized that this is something we all got to hear. We have got to hear this right now. Because here's the thing. If you're listening to this podcast about church revitalization, there are churches closing their doors weekly because the pastor is weak in prayer. He's not praying the way he's supposed to. He's getting all worked up about what this church is doing and that church is doing, and the devil's throwing all sorts of stuff his way. And we don't like to talk about it. You know, in the Southern Baptist Convention, we call it the 11th commandment. You know, thou shalt not speak ill about the pastors. But here's the thing that's going on. Is we sit there and we look at how these churches are. And we can tell. We can tell when a pastor is really getting agitated. Or, you know, when nerves are getting hit, because they get really agitated because somebody is speaking the truth. And as they're speaking the truth, they're getting agitated. And that's because they know that they've been found out, that the Holy Spirit is convicting them, that people need to understand . And here's the thing. These guys that are sitting there, these pastors that are sitting there, and they're getting aggravated because of what this one's saying or that one's saying. You know, you got to ask. You know, how many of us are doing the right thing, asking them how their prayer life is? How they are reading their Bible? How they are connecting with other pastors? How they're doing connecting with their community and their region. And that's the whole thing. See, revival begins with prayer. And if we're serious about our own being, when you think about it, you want to talk logically here. Okay, let's talk logically. Okay, the minutest part of the human is the atom. And within the atom is even minuter parts, electron, proton, neutron. It's meaning that it's the smallest thing. It has to begin somewhere. Life begins with the smallest particle. And here's the thing that I'm wondering if you're listening to this, if you know where I'm going on this. Because here's where I'm going on this. Here's the thing. I want you to think about this, Pastor. I want you to think about this layman. I want you to think about this Christian. Here's the thing that you need to think about. If you want revival in your church, be the one praying first. Don't call for a night of prayer. Don't call for a prayer with your leadership. Be praying for revival yourself. It begins with you. We need to be in prayer. We need to be focused. We can't be thinking about what five ways to Sunday is going to bring about the biggest number and all that stuff. Because here's the thing. If you are spiritually dry, then the motor that is working in your church for your revival, for your church plant, for your established church is going to cease. Pure and simple. It's going to cease. And this is the thing that we need to understand as pastors. This is the thing that we need to understand within our bodies. And when I say bodies, I mean our churches. Because here's the thing. We cannot expect to have revival if we're not praying for God to change us. Because here's the thing. We are human. We are going to get aggravated. We're going to get aggravated with the people in our churches, with the people in our towns, with the people around us. And if we are not seeking God to change our attitude towards those people, towards our congregations, then God isn't going to do anything. And we're just going to get more and more bitter. That's the thing. We have to understand that. We have to go forward with that. We have to understand where God is going in our lives. We look at David within the Psalms. You know, David's sitting there and he's sitting here just broken because of his sin with Bathsheba. And we read in Psalm 50. No, Psalm 51. Verse We read about this contrite heart that he has. And the one thing he says in verse 12 is, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit." But look what he says. "Then I will teach wrongdoers your ways, and sinners will be converted to you." In verse 13. So revival begins within us, Pastor. Revival begins within us, and that's what we have to understand. If we are not going about doing what we are supposed to, and that's working out our salvation, that's praying for our people, praying for our churches, praying for our community, we can say it. I can tell you, I know men that say it and don't do it. And I've been guilty of it. And that's where this is coming from. We look at the scriptures and we see this and we say, "Lord, what do you want?" He wants us to be humble. He's not going to bless you. He's not going to bless the church that you're in, that you are reviving, or that you are starting, unless you come to him first. And this is what I'm going back. You know, we go back to these theological worldviews, and we look at how a lot of them think logically. They take the supernatural out. And this is the thing. No matter what, you need the power of the supernatural to be able to do the impossible. When you're doing that, you need to understand what the Lord is telling you. You've got to understand what the Lord wants you to do. We look at this and we see it. Here's David. He's got this contrite heart. And he wants God to restore him. He wants God to revive him. He wants revival. He wants awakening back to the Lord. And you look at what it says in verse 13. And he says, then I will. As soon as God restores and reinvigorates him, now he is good to go on the Missio Dei, the mission of God. Because then he says, "Then I will teach the wrongdoers your ways, and sinners will be converted to you." And that's what we have to understand, Pastor. We have to go forward. We have to keep moving forward in this thing, no matter how life gets us, how bad we want to give up. You know, we often look at 2 Chronicles 7:14 and we say, "Well, That's Israel. Yeah, that's Israel. That isn't America. That's Israel. Who was Israel? Israel was God's chosen people. Who is the church? The church is God's chosen people. We're grafted in. So I will argue with you 10 ways to Sunday that we use this verse for the church, not for America. Because here's the thing. Revival is not going to begin in America until it begins in the churches. And that is what you need to understand, Pastor. So when we look at this verse where it says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." Now, how does that work for our churches? Well, we look at it. We want these churches revived. We want these churches to go on. We want new churches started to blossom. And how does that work with this verse? Well, with this verse, it's the pastor first going to the Lord. Then it's him leading his household in that same contrite spirit. Then it is him leading his team in that same contrite spirit. And then he is going forward leading the church. And that by the time we get to the church, if the pastor's household is on fire for the Lord and the leadership is on fire for the Lord, the people are going to be on fire. And that's what happens with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will pour himself out into the church. But everything begins. The greatest of fires, the Chicago fire, the Great London fire, all of those began with a spark, a small ember. And Pastor, we are the ember. And we've got to understand that we need to be on our knees. We need to be doing battle. Here's the thing. When you look at the spiritual armor, prayer is there. If you are not wearing your armor, if you're not praying, you're not wearing your armor, you're not armored up, you have a weakness in your defense, and the devil, the enemy, is going to use that to his advantage. And that's what you need to do. You need to go in there and armor up. And what I mean by armor up is I mean put on the whole spiritual armor. And what that means, Pastor, is you need to be in prayer. And you got to be doing prayer. And you got to be ready in prayer. So here's the thing. I'm going to close with this today. We need to be sitting before God . We need to be sitting before the Lord in prayer. We need to be sitting there ready to do battle. Because here's the thing. We cannot win this battle, win this war, without Christ at our side. And we know that he's beaten. We know that he's beaten the enemy. But too many of us, I think, are just living that reality. Don't have to do anything. God's already won. Don't have to do anything. God's done it. But here's the thing. If that was the case, we wouldn't see the apostles being martyred. We wouldn't see Christians being fed to lions. We wouldn't see what we read in the book of Acts and what we see in our history books. And I think we've lost that, and we've got to gain it back. And we gain that back through revival. We gain that back through awakening. And Pastor, we need to be in prayer. We need to be asking for God to bring about an awakening within our church. We got to be praying for revival, because revitalization is revival. Replanting is revival. And we need to be the change agents. So go out and do what you have to. Take time after this, break out your Bibles. Read it. Go in your car. Go in a field. Go on a hike. Go somewhere and pray. We'll see you next week.